Welcome aboard. You are listening to Space Cadets. We are your hosts, Sinead and
Kat, and we hope your launch into the mental health space is Bezos approved.
Hello and welcome back to Space Cadets. We are recording this, I think, one day after we recorded our last episode. So we don't feel like it's been that long.
Yep. And Kat's only just woken up, so this day is already off to a good start. We'll start with an acknowledgement of country first before we do anything else, just in case we forget it later. And we'll just like to acknowledge that we're meeting on Ngunnawal and Ngambri land, and that we would like to pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging, and that sovereignty was never ceded. Would also like to just acknowledge that this always was and always will be Aboriginal land as well.
Yeah.
Sweet. So let's get into it. We've got a special guest today. You don't have to just hear me and Sinead.
Azra, would you like to introduce yourself? They know me by now, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, hi, I'm Azra. I use she, they pronouns. I am Sinead's roommate. So I have the absolute pleasure of living with her.
I can't tell if that's sarcastic or not.
It's lovably sarcastic.
Okay.
I love you.
Wow, wrecked.
Okay. Yeah, I don't really know what else to say about myself. I'm in my second year, finishing up my second year. I study international relations and psychology. With psychology, because I have very many mental illnesses that I wanted to figure out why the fuck I have them. And hence I decided psychology was the path to go down. The IR is because I decided that I like politics, but not domestic politics.
And do you?
I hate
what's
my
What's your verdict?
The verdict is don't do an IR degree if you don't like theory. Mm-hmm. Because that is my entire degree, and I have not liked a single IR core course that I've had to do, and I'm very much considering switching out of my IR degree. I also forget that I do my psychology degree because I take one course a semester, so yeah, anyway, that's the TLDR in my life. Yeah.
I'm so sorry. My internet is really shit, so I've been like frozen half the yeah, no, that's interesting. I asked my better degree, but unfortunately I finished it earlier this year. I like it so much more than law. Law can kiss its own ass.
Random question, but do you know you're a full degree student? Do you know if you do a double degree that you get, like, once you finish the courses for one of the degrees, you get to have like a graduation from that degree, or like graduation?
You do. You can choose.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Fancy.
Okay,
so technically you can choose, but they cancelled both the graduations this year, so I couldn't do it in the middle or at the end.
That fucking
we just sucks. Have no graduations this year.
That is so fucking rough. You've been in uni for like a while. You deserve this.
I know, it's been 5 years.
Wait, so you're
but that's okay, you know. My housemate and I are gonna pretend to hold a ceremony here.
Can you still get like the cap and gown and like take some photos? Because I feel like I would be that would be my thing. Like, as long as I could get like the cap and gown and take the photos, because like I said, I went to like hippie school, we didn't get like any of that. So as long as I could like take those photos and, you know, like have my like certificate and like the hat and, you know, like the fancy gown, I'd be like,
yeah,
like my blue, because I do social sciences and proud rep in the CAS. But anyway, we should probably get more into it. My computer keeps making weird noises, but I don't know what the problem with it is. So we're just going to roll with that. I hope it's fine. Anyway, so Azra, would you like to tell us about your experience with our topic of conversation for today, which is bipolar?
Yeah. Bipolar, it's been an interesting one for me. So a little bit of context. I have been diagnosed with major depressive disorder, but
so it is major depressive disorder. I can never remember if it's major depressive disorder or severe depressive disorder.
I think there
are two
different ones, but I have major depressive disorder.
Oh, okay.
yeah, but it never really, I mean, I personally, up until I moved to university last year, thought that I just had major depressive disorder and generalized anxiety, but like that's completely different. But come this time last year-ish, I realized that probably was not the case. And especially looking back on it now, like my depressive episodes have been very sort of like periodic is the way I described it to my therapist. So I'd go through like these periods of really, really, really bad depression and really low depression. But then I'd come out of it and be like relatively quite like high and like really not, well, I thought I was happy, but like I wasn't really happy. It was just kind of mania. Anyway, so yeah, that it was an interesting thing for me to come to terms with. I do have a family history of bipolar disorder. So my aunt has been diagnosed with bipolar and so has my cousin. But yeah, my
bipolar does tend to run in families, right?
Like, yeah.
I know that there's other like, you know, like obviously like neurodivergencies and mental illnesses that run in families too, but like that's one of like the key ones that runs in families, right?
Yeah. So like, although I didn't think that I had bipolar disorder, when I went to my GP last year and I like explained all of this to him, like the first thing he asked me was, do you have anyone like any family history? And I was like, yeah, my aunt and my cousin both have bipolar disorder. And he was like, okay, well, that to me is like quite telling, because even though like the bipolar disorder that they've been diagnosed with is bipolar one, I have more of the symptoms of bipolar two disorder. So there are different types of bipolar disorder.
Yeah, not to like jump into like the question segment of it, but yeah. What is bipolar one and two? And what are the differences, if you don't mind explaining? I'm more asking you this as like a psychology student than like person with bipolar.
Just before this, though, just wanted to add that, like, depression is depression. Major depression is depression. Severe just indicates, like, how bad it is, I guess, or how bad your symptoms are. And seasonal depression is the only other type of depression.
Yeah.
Just a little plug in for depression. Yeah, okay, let's go back to bipolar.
I literally can never remember if it's, like, major depressive disorder or severe depressive disorder, but anyway.
Yeah. So major depressive disorder is just another word for depression itself.
Yeah.
As a thing. And severe depression just means that you've got major depression, but it's severe major depression.
Cool. That's fun.
Yeah. Because major depression is just another word for like clinical depression. Cool. And yeah, I was diagnosed with severe. No, it was... She said it was chronic, and I was like, oh no, that doesn't sound great.
It's not going away. My favorite thing is I have a mental health podcast and I don't know the difference between severe depression and major depression, but that's fine.
It's okay, we now know the vague difference, and this is sort of related anyway, because depression is it can be a major part of bipolar disorder.
Yeah, and like a lot of people get misdiagnosed as far as I know as well, right? Like
yeah,
there's a whole heap of people who like would usually have symptoms of, you know, like bipolar, be it like bipolar one or bipolar two, who can sometimes get misdiagnosed with like major depression, just depression, we'll just say depression.
Yeah.
And because, you know, like they're normally seen as people who are like bubbly and, you know, like quite, you know, like happy and high functioning, as much as I hate to use that word. But you know what I mean? Like, I think that, yeah, like there's a key overlap, even though like I have another friend who has bipolar and she said something similar to what you said, Kat, when she got diagnosed with bipolar, she was like, I don't have depression anymore. That's fun. But anyway, sorry, I asked you a question. What was it? I still have ADHD.
We haven't recovered from yesterday.
Very bad memories. So.
Oh, bipolar one and bipolar two.
Yeah. So the main sort of
killing it.
The key difference between bipolar one and bipolar two is generally characterized by like the difference in like mania and hypermania. So with bipolar one, it's where the depressive episodes are bad, but like the manic episodes are worse. And usually the mania that's exhibited in people with bipolar one is quite extreme mania. Whereas with people with bipolar two disorder, it's not that the mania isn't extreme, it's just a different type of mania. It's not as sort of like, I mean, I don't know how to like demonstrate this without an example. So like in bipolar one, a lot of times mania can be seen with like quite sort of psychotic episodes. So like my cousin, for example, has had really, really bad psychotic episodes where he's just like screaming really like extreme shit, not to divulge his personal life, but like
we have no idea who this person is.
Is it sort of like atypical, is it sort of like typical of what you would see as a stereotype of bipolar?
Yeah.
When they go, yeah.
Yeah, like think like, I'm going to skateboard off the top of this roof because
I'm invincible.
I'm a god and I will like live. And
yeah.
I'm invincible. Yeah. Whereas like hypomania is a little bit less like I will skateboard off a roof and like more like, for me personally, like excessive drinking. So I usually will binge drink, take drugs. It has the same sort of like underlying extremes, yeah. Like happy, not happiness, but like extreme, like high, but yeah. It's not to the same level of like extreme behavior.
Yeah. Is it sort of like overindulgence or?
Yeah. I would definitely say it's overindulgence, but it's also like, you can kind of like, you just feel a lot higher than you do like at other times. So in people who have bipolar 2, generally their depression tends to be a lot worse. And I definitely experience that. Like I find that I function quite often in like a depressive episode or like just in a sort of like general level of being depressed. And when I'm in a hypomanic episode, I'm not depressed at all. And I'm what other people would consider like normal functioning. But just a little bit more extreme because binge drinking is not normal functioning as much as people at university seem to think so.
Tell Mooseheads that.
Oh, Miss Mooseheads.
Tell every Australian that, actually.
Too much. Yeah, I hate that. How is it our culture to excessively drink? It's not normal.
How is it normal for us to like black out and go like, oh yeah, that's okay. Like everyone does
weekend.
Me thinking about me looking at the binge drinking criteria, I do not see. But yeah, is there anything else you would especially want to share as part of your personal story? This is like free therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can talk to us about how like you found out, how you saw the diagnosis, etc., how you've been dealing with it.
Yeah. So I found out like through many other people, I feel like, who discover mental health at university, outside of like the realm of their parents. I got told by a friend like this time last year, she was like, Azra, I think you might have bipolar disorder. And I was like, what the fuck? Like it didn't really come out of nowhere. It had come out of like, I had just come out of kind of like what I would say was a hypomanic episode where I was like, binge drinking for like 3 days. I went on like a 3-day bender and still went to work every day and I was like hungover or like
I remember this.
Yeah, like there was this one night where like I was we went to a friend's birthday party at Reload, got absolutely obliterated, and then I went to work, then we had a friend's birthday party at their house, like a house party the following night, went to that, got completely wasted, and I had to open on Sunday morning the following day at work. And so I went to bed like early because I was like, I need to go to work. And so then made Sinead drive me back from that party at 5 a.m. the following morning so I could go home, have a shower, get my makeup done and be at work at 9:30.
Me waking up at 5 a.m. after going to bed like 4 hours later.
I kind of came out of that and like she was like, Azra, I think you might have bipolar disorder, and I was like, what the fuck? I was like, why do you say that? I have depression. I don't have bipolar disorder. I'm just like pulling myself out of depression by excessively drinking. And she was like, that's not normal. She was like, you know, you might not have bipolar 1, but you definitely might have bipolar 2. I think you need to go and see a GP about this. And I was like, okay. And she was like, this is my GP. He's really great with like
this is how we health. All ended up seeing the same GP.
Yeah.
Wait, we all have the same GP.
Me, Azra and Bella all ended up seeing the same GP there for a while.
Wait, who is it?
Dr. Kiriala. He used to be at Hobart Place General Practice. He's now moved to somewhere in Gungahlin. Fun story, he disappeared off the face of the planet for like a month and a half, and I was like, I can't book a doctor's appointment. And yeah, so now I have to get a new doctor. Anyway, so I booked in an appointment with him and I was like, my friend thinks I have bipolar disorder. I don't think so. I just have depression. I've had depression my whole life. And he was like,
are you sure about that?
He was like, I think I agree with your friend. And I was like, okay, well, I don't really think I do. And then he was like, let's continue seeing each other for a couple of weeks and see how you go. Let's monitor this in like a controlled environment so we know what's going on, and then we can figure it out from there. And I was like, okay. So I saw him for like a couple of months, like every 2 weeks, and he would like check in. We'd do a DAS every time, like talk about my symptoms. And after like 2.5 months, he was like, I definitely think you have bipolar disorder. I think you need to go and see a psychiatrist. And I was like, okay. He was like, I also want to get you started on medication. But the thing with medication is that you, like, if you just go on an antidepressant to manage the depressive symptoms you're having, it will usually like
have the opposite effect.
Yeah. And trigger your mania. So you need to be on a mood stabilizer as well. And he was like, we can try out a couple of different things and see how you go. But I do want you to see a psychiatrist because they'll have a better grip on like, A, what medications would work better for you, but B, they can diagnose you officially, which I think is important for you. And I was like, okay. So I was like, look, I can't see a psychiatrist right now. They're quite expensive. I don't have the money for this. But I'm happy to like save up and see a psychiatrist at the end of December last year or like January this year. So that's what we agreed on. He put me on some medication. We started like trialing different things out. And then I went into a hypomanic episode in like December, like late December, early January. Yeah. And I just looked at my psychology textbook and looked at like the DSM and I was like, nah, I do not have bipolar disorder.
Self undiagnosed.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm undiagnosing myself as a second year psychology student who has access to the internet and a textbook. I have decided I do not have bipolar disorder. Sure, I exhibit more than half the symptoms. I don't have bipolar disorder.
Some people self-diagnosed, Ezra self-undiagnosed.
Yeah.
So, I love how you're like, my GP, who clearly has experience with this, knows nothing. Yeah. I'm a second year student. Like, I know everything.
I was like, everyone is wrong. I know myself. I am correct. I do not have bipolar disorder. So I decided not to go and see the psychiatrist. And then I ghosted my GP for a couple of weeks, which I would not recommend doing. Please consistently see someone. I also wasn't in therapy at this point because I ghosted my therapist a couple months before that. Yeah. But to be fair, that therapy ghosting was warranted. I really did not like that therapist. There are healthier ways to deal with that. But yeah. So I went back to him in like, what was it? Like, I think end of January. And I was like, lol, so maybe I had a hypomanic episode. And I was like, I've just decided that I don't have bipolar disorder and I don't want to see a psychiatrist. And he was like, okay, we can work on that. How are we going medication wise? I was like, I'm not taking them. And he was like, you need to be taking medication, Ezra. And I was like,
you dumb bitch.
Yeah. And he was like, why aren't you taking them? And I was like, I just don't like them. And I was like, they don't do anything for me. I don't like them. And this is,
I love how he's just like, you don't have the privilege to not like them. Holy shit.
Yeah. He was like, I feel really bad for this doctor because I feel like I was an absolute pain in the ass to deal with. He was like, you're not doing okay. And I was like, no, I'm fine. And he was like, you're really not. And I was like, I know everything. I'm okay. I don't need help. I'm just coming here to waste your time. Yeah. So that was, would not recommend. Anyway, we started on new medication because he was like, clearly the old one is not working for you. So let's try something else. And this was when he put me on a mood stabilizer as well. And I just did not have a really good reaction to that mood stabilizer. I don't know if either of you have experience with mood stabilizers, but I was on quetiapine, which like A, knocks you out really fast. It's like a really, sleepy really, time. Yeah, it's a really heavy sedative for a lot of people, but also it makes you really nauseous. And I struggle a lot with like just bad eating habits. And that just, nausea is not good for me because it just takes me back to a time in my life when I had really restrictive eating and it does some fucked up shit to my head. So I really struggled with the nausea that came with the mood stabilizer. And so after 2.5 or 3 months, I stopped taking it. And I was just on the antidepressant that he had prescribed me. I'd gone up my dose a couple of times, but yeah. At that point, I was still like, I feel like this is doing nothing for me. And so I stopped taking it, which I do a lot. I go cold turkey off my meds quite a lot.
Stop doing that.
It's really bad.
Kat!
I don't do it anymore.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah. I've gotten my mum to like message me every day at 3:00 p.m. to say, Kat, have you taken your meds? And my message every day is like, yep.
I would be really concerned if you got her to message you at 3 a.m. I'd be like, I don't know if your mum wants to stay up that late.
No, but she messages me every day to double, to like provide some accountability because I suck at taking things. Like I found out that I didn't have depression because I just cold turkeyed my meds and I'm like, I feel nothing.
Yeah. Like
I feel the same as I did with the meds.
Yeah. I feel like for me, going cold turkey off my meds is a result of one of two things. I'm either starting like to go into a hypomanic episode and I decide that I don't need them,
that I should go and take my meds.
Or I just feel like they're not doing anything for me. And this happens a lot when I'm quite like depressed. I feel like my antidepressants are not working because they kind of plateau. Like the first month I take them or start on a new dosage, I feel great. I feel like they're actually doing something. And then it's kind of starts to kick in properly. And I feel like it just doesn't work.
That's also a symptom of bipolar, FYI. And I only know that because my doctor thought I might have bipolar. And yeah, then was like, so, you know, like antidepressants will work for you for like the first month and like make you like super manic or whatever, and then like the set after that it'll just like massively slump.
And so when it hits that point where I'm like, this is not doing anything for me and I don't feel happy anymore and I just feel numb or feel nothing, I'm like, this is pointless, so I just stop taking it. And the thing is, I've been on quite high dosages when I stopped taking the antidepressants, so they really fuck me up more than they help me, which is totally my own fault. Like, I really should be weaning off of them, but like, I don't. Anyway.
I cold turkey everything.
Yeah, so that's kind of been my experience up until this point. And now I, like I mentioned earlier, my doctor disappeared off the face of this planet. So I had to find a new doctor. And she wasn't really comfortable with prescribing me new medications because I've been unmedicated for like 2.5 months now. In that time, I've had a hypomanic episode and had a very severe depressive episode. So I clearly need to be on medication. But she was uncomfortable with putting me on medication without like an official bipolar diagnosis. But also she was like, I'm not really well versed in mental health, so I am not sure what would work for you, especially because you've tried a bunch of things and you're not really like, they're not really working for you and you're having bad side effects with a lot of the ones you've tried. So she was like, you really need to go and see a psychiatrist. I was like, okay, cool. Maybe I need to accept that I actually have bipolar disorder and go and see a psychiatrist. So I'm now booked in to see a psychiatrist in November.
This is an ongoing story. You'll keep us updated.
I shall keep you updated. We'll see what the psychiatrist says to me. I'm just convinced that I'm paying $550 for this dude to tell me that I have bipolar disorder and to put me on medication, which anyone could tell me and anyone could do. That's a lie. Anyone can't tell me and anyone can't do that for me, but
it just feels,
it feels like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so that's kind of been my experience with it. I think I've struggled a lot with just accepting my bipolar diagnosis because it's been like a massive kind of like stigma in my family. And like I've had like a lot of not great experiences with mental health in my parents, and for a long time like my relationship with my parents suffered because of my mental health and because of their sort of like their, they just don't understand mental health and that's a result of their upbringing. So like it was not like a great situation for a long time. And like even now, like when I mentioned to my mom that like, oh, I'm going to my GP quite regularly or I need to see a psychiatrist to get medications fixed, she's like, why do you need medication? And I'm like, because I am unstable and I need medication to regulate my emotions and my hormone levels and just my thoughts. Like, she's like, can you come off medication? Like, my mom's like biggest thing is she doesn't want me to be medicated my whole life.
No, I think we have the same family.
Yeah,
because mine also doesn't believe in mental health. They only started believing in it at the start of last year.
Yeah,
after like 8 years of me going to therapy and trying to convince them that it's real.
Yeah, like I've been in some form of counseling or therapy since I was 15. I'm 20 now. Yeah, so like it's taken a while for my parents to come around to the fact that I might be I might be mentally ill, but they're still not around to the fact that I will probably need medication to manage my mental illness for the rest of my life.
Same.
In my mom's head, like, medication is just like, it's just a temporary fix, which, like, I have thoughts about. To some degree, I think yes, but to some degree, I think no.
Like, my dad also has that trouble where he doesn't want me to be dependent on my medication. But the fact is that I'm dependent on lifelong medication outside of my mental health. Like, my physical health means that, like, so I have congenital hypothyroidism, which for me exhibits itself in the fact that I don't have a thyroid. It just never, it grew in the wrong place, and it was like a tiny silver, like you had to see it up close on an ultrasound, and it was tiny as, but then it disappeared sometime this year.
Yeah,
that sometime over the last
year. Bye, bitch.
It just disappeared, and I'm like, what the fuck, where did it go? Because it was definitely there last year. And then my thyroid doctor dude was just like, apparently they can shrivel up and die. So mine shriveled up, died, left my body somehow.
That's so relatable.
And I've been on medication for it every day for my entire life, like since day one.
Yeah.
And it's weird to me that my dad can accept that and accept that, oh, you're missing a thyroid, which produces much needed hormones. Therefore, you supplement it with thyroxine. And he can't accept the same thing for like ADHD or bipolar, for example, right? And he just goes, well, mental illnesses are different. No, if it's a lifelong mental illness, then it's a lifelong medication taking
thing. And like, I think a big thing with that is like, for my parents, they kind of watch me struggle with my mental health and like my mental illness a lot in high school. And I almost just kind of pulled myself out of it at the end of high school and like into my gap year. And so they look at that and they're like, if you can do that then, why can't you do that now? And that was just like a very different situation. Like, I'd gotten to a point, this is getting very into like my childhood trauma, but like I'd gotten to a point.
This
with
is
like,
free therapy. That's what I said.
We love childhood trauma. Just give it to us.
Yeah. So this is what I've been talking to my therapist about recently. So I got to a point with my like mental health and like my severe depression in high school where I was like, I can only rely on myself. And no one else is going to be there to help me. If I don't pull myself out of this now, I'm not going to be alive to see the rest of my life. And I need to pull my shit together. Like, I have shit I want to do. And I honestly, as weird as it sounds, just got tired of being depressed all the time. Like, I was so exhausted of being depressed. I was like, I am so tired. I don't want to feel this anymore. So that's kind of how, like, I don't know what happened in my brain. It's like I flipped a switch or something and it just 180'd. So to my parents, they're like, you pulled yourself out of depression after high school, so like, why can't you pull yourself out of bipolar disorder now? Which I haven't even really told my parents about my bipolar situation.
I don't think they listen to the podcast.
Yeah, I may have like name dropped it to my mom while I was arguing with her the last time I was back home, and we just didn't talk about it for like a day. I just left that argument and then I went back to her as if nothing happened, which is how a lot of my arguments with my parents go. But yeah, so like, I think they're aware now that it's a thing. We haven't really spoken about it. I think once I get an official diagnosis, I'm probably gonna have to sit them down and be like, look, this is what's going on in my life. Have fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Like with me, like working through my dad's like medication hesitancy, I guess, and like also just mental health hesitancy. Like his two of his brothers have schizophrenia, anxiety and depression and addictive personality disorder, I think. And you don't get diagnosed in Malaysia. Like you get squat. No one gets diagnosed with anything. Mental health isn't a thing. So if you get diagnosed with something, that means it's really, 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 really severe. Which is fun because two of my uncles have really, really severe stuff. But they really made him associate mental health, or like the degradation of mental health, I guess, with being like a dole bludger, living off your parents' money when you're like 40, 50. And he associates it with failure as well and just being a bad person. So it took a long time for him to get around to that. I think what helped was me going to him going like, I know everything about this subject. Let me educate you. Here is the medication. Here are all the side effects. Here's how long people usually stay on this medication. Here's what I can use here's what I'm using to supplement the medication use to make sure that I get better, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that really helped him feel more comfortable. But like, the onus shouldn't be on us to make our parents feel comfortable about something that we do for ourselves.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel like my parents are very similar in that vein. Like, it was the exact same with like me moving to ANU. I had to come to them with like an exact thought out detailed game plan of how exactly I was going to execute this for them to be okay with the fact that I was going to move out of their home at 19 and like, you know, live alone in a different city and go to university in a different city. But yeah, so I feel like me going to them with just like, my doctor and my psychologist think I have bipolar disorder, but I'm not properly medicated. I cannot stick to my medications and I haven't found anything that works for me. They're just going to be like, what the fuck? And yeah, then it'll just leave a really bad, like, sort of like message in their mind. Whereas if I go to them with like, I've seen a psychiatrist, this is what the psychiatrist said, I've tried this for like X months and it's working for me, here you go now, you don't have a problem to fix because I'm fixing it. They're a lot more sort of like, it feels like they're going to be a lot more accepting to it.
Yeah.
Like they don't have to deal with the emotional burden of it.
Or yeah, you can be like, oh, you thought this was a problem? I already have the solution. Yeah. It's already working. Boom. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to worry about it because it's solved.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. Anyway. So Kat, have you got any questions? Otherwise I can.
I guess in terms of questions, was it difficult at all for you to sort of like, did you have any internalized stigmas from it? Is that like, what was the reason? As I feel like there was maybe another reason as well why it was hard for you to seek a diagnosis or to stick with a diagnosis, I guess.
Like I guess I did have a lot of like internalized stigmas about it, which sounds really counterintuitive as someone who studies psychology but also who's been like very like pro mental health, and like, you know, I've been quite open about my mental health as well, which is something that's not normal, I feel like, in my community. But yeah, so I think the thing that was like really hard for me to come to terms with my bipolar was that like I didn't exhibit symptoms of bipolar one, which is what I just convinced myself bipolar disorder was. Like I'd known that different types of bipolar disorder existed, but I was like, no, I don't have what's stereotypically bipolar disorder, so I don't have bipolar disorder. And in and of itself, that's kind of just like a internalized sort of like stigma that I carried, because I was like, I don't want to accept this as something that I have, because no one's going to look at me and accept it as something that I have, because I don't exhibit those like stereotypical symptoms. But also for me, it was like the like family members I have who have been diagnosed with bipolar disorder also carry a lot of like, I've just had childhood trauma relating to like my family that have also stopped me from like kind of accepting that I have this. Like I don't know, I think because my parents' sort of like concept of what mental illness was very stemmed from like my aunt's experience and like my aunt's family's experience with like mental health, which was triggered by a lot of like familial factors. And like mental illness exists in people outside of like traumas that cause mental illnesses to be diagnosed, but in my parents' head the reason why they got diagnosed was because of this major life event that had happened in their life that had caused that trauma, even though those symptoms had existed prior to that like traumatic life event. So for my parents, they were like, they have a reason to be mentally ill, but you in high school, being majorly depressed and going through these like fluctuating depressive episodes, who hasn't had like a major traumatic life event happen, don't have a reason to be mentally ill. And for me, like, I could accept my depression because I knew that like, you know, I just have like, there were like factors in my life that influenced that. I couldn't accept my bipolar disorder because in my head I was like, surely I should have had like a traumatic life event happen to me for this to like come to like, you know, for this to be, this diagnosis to be brought onto me. And I didn't have that traumatic, or sort of didn't have that traumatic life event happen to me. I don't know if that makes any sense. I've spoken about it in like very big abstracts. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's just, I really struggled with accepting it because for some reason I could accept depression as being like normal and like,
I feel like
mainstream. Whereas I feel like bipolar disorder feels a little bit too into the realm of like, I'm quite mentally unstable. And I feel like in the career that I want to have, I feel like that's a bad thing. I know it's not. That's my internalized ableism. But like, it just, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I guess what I was going to say as well is like, I guess something with me was like, I found it super easy. I don't know if this is like similar for you, but I found it super easy to accept my depression diagnosis because it was something that like one day I could get better from.
Mm.
Like, I guess, I think we talked about this in like our last episode as well, Kat, but like, you know, yeah. I guess that like, you know, like there's all, like it was always framed to me when I was diagnosed with like depression and then obviously like as well, like anxiety. I got diagnosed with social anxiety, but I don't believe in social anxiety. Just for like,
I think you're just anxious.
Other people can have social anxiety. Like, I don't believe it doesn't exist. I just don't think I personally can have it. But we're not gonna get into that today. And you know, like all of that, but it was all kind of framed as temporary, right? It was like with the right therapy, you know, like CBT, stuff like that. I can't see with my
friends. Like someday you'll look back at your life and go, holy shit, I got so much better.
Yeah, and like as well, like I'd seen people with depression as well, like a family member, like a close family member had quite bad depression when I was growing up that was triggered by a traumatic event that he then like mostly recovered from. And so like I kind of like that was my main association with depression, and I was like, oh, you know, like one day I can get better. But then like getting my ADHD diagnosis, it was like, this is something I have had forever and I will have forever. And I think that it like I found it like that a lot harder to accept, I guess, is like, is that kind of similar? Like,
yeah.
Did it kind of like, I guess, change your perception of like things that happened to you when you were younger as well? Like looking backwards as well as forwards?
Yeah, 100%. I think in my mind, like subconsciously, I knew that like depression was going to be something that I could pull myself out of and like wasn't going to be for the rest of my life. Whereas like bipolar disorder is 100% but like most likely going to be something I struggle with for the rest of my life. And like I feel like that is just quite hard to come to terms with. And like that's not to say that like bipolar disorder can't be managed, because it 100% can be, like on the right medication and with the right therapy you can manage bipolar disorder and live a pretty much normal life. It's just about like finding that right sort of like, you know, that perfect situation where like you've got the right therapy, you've got the right medication, you've got all the factors right in your life, and getting to that point is quite hard. And I think because I'm so in the middle of like getting to that point right now, I'm like, this just feels like something I'm gonna have to deal with like for the rest of my life, and I don't like that. Like,
yeah, I don't know, that made me feel really happy. I was like, I don't know why, it just made me think of like, yeah, I don't know, like nice outlook, I don't know, I like it. But I guess, I don't know as well, like kind of, I think you kind of touched on this, but you know, like, I guess like looking backward as well, like not necessarily in terms of like childhood trauma or anything, but like, is it kind of like you can look back on like events that you had happen in your life and be like, I was in a depressive episode, I was in a hypomanic episode. Like, is there any points in your life that you can think of like that?
I definitely think so, because looking back on like what my experience was with my depression during high school, it was very periodic, and I would go through very severe periods of depression and then have like really high periods coming out of that. And I would kind of just go through like, I don't know where this fits in with like my bipolar disorder slash like everything else I have going on in my head, but like I would go through, I had quite bad anger issues in high school and had really bad ways of like coping with my emotions. And a lot of the time my emotions would kind of, I would have outbursts of emotions that manifested as anger, but they weren't really anger. They were just like a lot of emotions in my head that I didn't know how to like put into words. And so I would have like these outbursts, like quite like often, like between my depressive episodes, where like I would just like I would just kind of, all of my emotions would be like compounding and I wouldn't have a way of like dealing with them or coping with them. And then one day it would just be like too much and I would like completely like burst and like have a really bad, like just really bad situation. Like I would be yelling at everyone. Like I was like not eating, not sleeping, like not kind of like, you know, functioning as a person, and like was very just not a great person to be around, and like would lock myself in my room for like days on end and like would not leave. And then kind of like fall into like a depressive episode straight after that. And like, it kind of like went back and forth between that. So like looking back on that now, I'm like, yeah, that kind of fits in with like the whole like hypomania and then like depressive episode that like my bipolar is kind of characterized by. But like, yeah, it makes a lot more sense now when I look back on my life retrospectively that I have had bipolar for a long time. I just didn't really know how it like I didn't really know what it was, and no one in my life really knew that it was possible for me to kind of have a less extreme version of the bipolar disorder that I was exposed to when I was younger. And so they just, everyone assumed it was depression. But yeah.
And they're like, oh, this is just Azra without depression.
Yeah, like this is just Azra being a normal functioning person.
This is Azra functioning.
Yeah, like when in reality I wasn't really functioning.
I also just wanted to bookmark that there's I just googled this, so I might be wrong, but there are more types of bipolar disorder.
Yes.
Than just one. Bipolar 1 and bipolar 2. There's also this one called cyclothymic or something, which apparently describes brief periods of hypomanic symptoms alternating with brief periods of depressive symptoms that are not as extensive or as long lasting as seen in full hypomanic episodes or full depression episodes. And I think that's, yeah, so there's like three different types, and it, I guess it's just sort of rapid cycling. So from my understanding of talking to some friends who have bipolar, I don't know which one they have, it usually happens for like a sustained period of time. So you're like depressed for a few days to a week to a month, 2 months, whatever, and then you're manic for days, weeks, months. And so it's a more sustained time when you're going through that extreme mood, I guess. And yeah, I guess with one of them, the cyclomanic one, thymic one, it's more like shorter periods of time.
So something. Continue what you're saying.
No, you continue. I don't know anything about psychology.
Yeah, so for me, the reason why I'm more likely to be a bipolar 2 as opposed to the other one, which the name I never remember, which is why I don't like talking about it because I can never remember what it's called. But the reason why that's slightly why I don't necessarily have that is because my like hypomania usually at the height of it will last for like 4 to 5 days, but I have a period of where like I'm coming into hypomania and coming out of hypomania where it's not exactly depression, but it's also not exactly hypomania. But my depressive episodes are usually quite long, and I have longer drawn out periods of falling into that depressive episode and like longer periods of coming out of it. So I like most of the time with bipolar disorder, like 1 and 2, you usually will only have like one or two, like between 1 and 3 kind of like really bad episodes in a year. Usually you won't have more than that. It's quite rare to kind of have like more sort of like manic episodes or more really bad depressive episodes because they're supposed to be a bit more drawn out and longer. Whereas with the third one, you have more of those kind of like cycles, and you kind of cycle faster between mania and depression. So for me, I experience really long depressive episodes. And I find that, like, Sinead said this to me a few days ago, where she was like, I think you've been lightly depressed for the whole year. And, like, she isn't wrong.
I'm right.
Like, I've had one really, well, I had one hypomanic episode at the start of the year, and I had one hypomanic episode, like, in August-ish, like, July, August. But I've been in, like, depression in between those two, but I've had a very bad depressive episode most recently, like in the past month. So it's kind of like I've been lightly depressed between all of that. It's like teetering on the edge of depressive episode that's really bad, but hasn't been that bad because I've been trying to counteract that by, like, pulling myself into a manic episode, which is, like, not
ideal.
Not ideal. But yeah, I also think the times that I was on antidepressants did somewhat help with, like, managing the depressive episodes, so it didn't, like, fall into, like, a fully fledged, like, really severe depressive episode.
It could have something to do with the fact you've been unmedicated pretty much the whole year.
I haven't been unmedicated the whole year. I was medicated for, like, most of the first half of the year, and, like, I haven't really been medicated since, like, the end of June. So yeah.
Yeah.
Take that as you will. Yeah. Obviously, yeah. Our advice for anyone who thinks they might have bipolar is go find someone, go find a good GP or a psychiatrist and have a psychologist and go to therapy. Go to motherfucking therapy.
Go to therapy. Take your meds.
Yeah. Take your meds.
Top tips. Talk to a GP, and one that's well-versed in mental illness, I would say. Mm-hmm. Go to therapy because it doesn't sound like it helps when it's in a when you're in a depressive episode or in, like, a hypomanic episode, but therapy, like, I did a year of CBT during my gap year, which, like, helped me kind of become quite attuned to what triggers me and, like, why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling. But going to therapy now helps me, like, break that down and, like, actually be like, okay, this is what happened. Like, I can think about my life objectively when I'm in therapy, which I've struggled to do outside of therapy because I'm involved in my own life. So it does help me kind of manage myself because I'm like, okay, I need to be more aware of this, this, and this, because it's going to make me feel this, this, and this.
Yeah.
And medication, I am really bad at taking medication. I've just always been like that. It sounds really bad. I don't believe in pain for myself. I have a very high pain tolerance. And, like, if I'm feeling or, like, exhibiting pain to people I'm close with, it usually means, like, it's really bad. And so I've just struggled with, like, medication my whole life because I'm like, I just need to suck it up and deal with the pain, which is not a healthy way of thinking. Like, medication is not there to be a burden on your life. It's there to help you. Like, it's there to help you manage your life and make you feel better. Like, you don't need to feel like you're in pain all the time. And I think that's something I need to, like, I can logically say out loud, but I really struggle to come to terms within my head.
Like, you don't need to give yourself suffering when you can take the easy way.
Yeah.
And the easy way is not necessarily an easy way. It's just the way that makes it easier for you, which is ultimately better, because then you can spend your time and energy not focused on being in pain.
Yeah.
Like, I also have a high pain tolerance.
Yeah. It's okay to want to be okay. Like,
it should be encouraged, I think.
Yeah.
Because I've struggled with mental illness my whole life, it feels so unnatural to me to not be in some form of, like, mental anguish at any given point in my life. And, like, I almost, like, struggle to come to terms with the fact that, like, people are not, like, don't have mental illness. That's, like, a thing. I'm like, everyone has a mental illness. Like, and, like, it probably doesn't help that I surround myself with people who also have mental illness, but no, I don't mean that as a bad thing. I'm just like, this is so normalized for me. So, like, feeling like I can function like a, I don't know, like, feeling that I can, like, kind of function without or, like, function alongside my mental illness feels very unnatural to me because I'm like, I feel like this has to be bad all the time. And it doesn't. Like, you can have a mental illness and still feel okay. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I have a lot of trouble with that as well.
Yeah. Anyway.
Where I'm just like, wait, I'm not suffering. This isn't how life is supposed to be. Whenever things feel easy to me, I get really overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And then I start freaking out and I'm just like, I can't do this. And I shut down and go back to bed. Like every time I write down, like if I'm doing an assignment and then I go, oh, I've already finished half of the assignment and it's been only an hour. Like I finished writing 1,500 in an hour. Fuck me. And then I start getting overwhelmed. So then I chuck away my computer and then I hide under the covers because I'm like, this is too much. I feel like I want to scream, run around, throw things and run away. Yeah. Because that's how I feel half the time. I always tell my friends that I go through like, I'm either super, super depressed or I'm like on autopilot and I'm chill and I can do things, but I can do things. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I feel like we kind of need to wrap up just because
Sinead's got to leave.
I do have to leave and we are recording this on my computer. I have a meeting at 1:30. Look at me. I'm actually going to office hours.
Incredible.
I'm such a good student.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. Thank you very much for joining us today, Ezra.
No worries.
The other thing I just wanted to note very quickly is that you guys have opposite hair.
Oh, yeah.
So the way that your hair is dyed blue, Kat, Ezra has their hair dyed like hot pink.
I know. I saw yesterday.
Yeah. My hair is very, actually, it's less pink than it was when I dyed it. I dyed it right after Anusa elections, which was like 4 weeks ago now. So it's faded a little bit, but it was very, very neon pink when I dyed it. And I was like, I feel quite like, this is like the epitome of my mental illness. Like, I feel like I look like how I wanted to look when I was in like high school, when I just wanted to bleach my hair because I was like, I have no control over anything in my life. So I just want to bleach my hair. And my mother didn't let me do that. Which retrospectively, probably a good decision on my mom's part, but I'm not going to say that to her face.
That reminds me of this, sorry, just quick story. This reminds me of this one time with one of my really good friends who also has bipolar, I think, and BPD. Bipolar and BPD. It's really hard to get diagnosed with both, but their comorbidities, check it out. So she has it, and then we were bleaching our hair, and then she dragged me into a mania, and then I started ripping out my hair.
Oh,
cat. And that was the first time I ended up with a mullet. It's because half my hair was so short it just became like super fluffy and half of it was like stringy and long because I just raked my hands through my hair and I'm like fuck you and yeah, I get really easily dragged into other people's things, but
I get that.
We mourn. Your hair actually looks really cool from what I remember from yesterday. I'm so sad that my roots are growing out there.
God, yeah. Look, I was going for a little bit of a different look with my hair. It looks very like circa 2015, like dip dyed pink hair right now. But I was going for more of a like pink highlights kind of situation, but I DIYed it at home in lockdown. So I don't know what I was expecting.
It looks cute. It looks cute.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you.
Bella thinks
I'm allergic to bleach. Yeah. So that's fun.
I'm glad the bleach didn't completely fry my hair.
Brown Charlie XCX is where you were going with that.
Bella thinks I look like a brown Charlie XCX. Yeah. I've got like bangs, pink hair that's dip dyed on the bottom. Yeah.
And the fits. Yeah.
Good thing about pink is that like you don't have to bleach it too much. But yes, we should probably wrap up now.
Alrighty, my loves, we will see you all soon. Bye.
Yep, next week.